We were just talking about that this morning in Grow class about Christ being the cornerstone, and that used to be the, you know, the way that they would measure off starting a building, and they, you know, they have laser sights and things like that. But it had to be set just perfect because everything was going to be measured off that, the walls and how they went vertically and horizontally, and it had to be set perfect. You got me thinking about Jake, who's leaving this week, and I wanted to turn around and ask him exactly what day he's leaving. It's on Tuesday. And I certainly don't mean to embarrass you, Jake, but he turned around and his eyes are full of tears, singing the song. The thing that gives me the confidence is knowing that Christ is his cornerstone, even as he's going to China, that is going to lead him and guide him and direct him. I know we got together around him last week, but I would just like us to take a moment to pray for Jake again. Father, I just ask that you would continue to be the cornerstone in Jake's life as he goes not just to teach people English, but the language of your love, of your word, of your gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ in places where it has not been heard. I just ask that you would help him to speak through him, through words, through actions, through relationships, the relationships he'll make, but also that your Spirit would comfort and guide him and be his cornerstone to the foundation to give him the confidence, not in himself, but in you. And help us to keep remembering him in prayer as we go from here. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. You know, one thing I found, Jake, in my travels, when I've gone, whether it's been to Honduras or Belgium or different places in Europe, is soccer, football, is a much bigger deal other places than it is here. You know, it's kind of weird that we have football. It's the most important sport here, you know, by, I don't know, well, viewership, revenue, what have you. And yet most of the rest of the world doesn't care about it. And yet the sport that's the most popular sport in the world, of course the World Cup is going on right now, that we tend not to give much. In fact, the blasphemy is so much that I was going to have a soccer ball this morning to try and do some tricks from when I used to be little and know how to play soccer a little bit, but I couldn't find one, so I'm kicking around a basketball. Of course, it's better than some of the ones they had in Honduras. Any of you, like, tuned into the World Cup at all? Okay, favorite team, the USA or besides USA? There's a trees in there. England? Yeah, I see you got your Liverpool football club shirt on. Or are you just bandwagon because Caleb just went there?
No, we got some English guys at work. So
oh, okay.
But they lost.
And they lost the first two, I think. Yeah. Other favorite teams?
Italy.
They lost. Okay. They lost both? No. They lost one. Okay. How about Italy? Just because.
I like it.
It got the name because of, hey, I watched that, okay. Yeah, I've been tuning in for Honduras and Belgium because I had a couple of missions trips to Honduras. They're not doing well, 0-2. Belgium is doing well. I lived there for a year. I loved soccer, especially as a kid. Grew up in Florida playing. Played goalie. I coached some when Andrew was playing. I don't know. Very good coach at it, but these days I don't play it. I just you know, watch it now and then, or every 4 years, or on the highlights. We fake like we really care about it at our house. Like Croatia lost, no. We, you know, kind of get all teary-eyed because we don't know anybody on Croatia. But I was coaching Caleb's baseball game this last week, and that's when the USA was playing. So I was, you know, while out there coaching first. Checking the scores and see if they're winning. And of course, you know, this is for the rest of the world. It's their Super Bowl. Oh, what did I do? All right, go past that.
Kids, Mom needs more help inside.
That was at the Father's Day game. Okay. Well, they sent out their children's message. Today, the whole message will be a children's message. But this is. In Brazil, that's where there's their main stadium there, Rio de Janeiro, Christ the Redeemer. Oh, thank you. statue, they're overlooking it. I mean, it becomes a big deal in Brazil. In faith and soccer tend to go together a lot. Like, if you don't have a favorite team in the World Cup, I'm going to give you a couple people that you might think about, like, as you're watching it to root for. One of those is Brazil. Brazil has a very large Christian population, and a lot of their players are Christians. And we're going to just show you a couple of Christian examples and then move on to how the World Cup is like the Christian's life. One of the players for Brazil is this guy, David Luiz. He's been playing as a central defender on England for their Chelsea team. And he's told newspapers often that he derives strength and inspiration from his faith. And this is one time that he's playing in Chelsea, and he's just laying hands on one of his teammates before the game. This became a very famous photograph after that same player scored two goals later in the game. But he would be famous for driving a van around to his practices with stickers that said Christ is life and God is faith. But he's one of the players for Brazil. Another one is this guy. He's the Brazilian captain, Thiago Silva. He's regarded by some as the best defender in the world. Young and upcoming, he was playing in Moscow. He actually had tuberculosis, thought he was going to die, near death, and told at one point by doctors he might lose one lung, and forced to miss an entire season, and attributes all of his healing to God, and is really an outspoken Christian. A couple other strong Christians be in action in Brazil or Mexico. This is Javier Hernandez. His father and grandfather were soccer football stars in Mexico. He's almost Mexico's all-time leading scorer. He's about to become. Plays for Manchester United in England when he's not playing for Mexico. And this is what he's known for. Before every game, I mean, it doesn't matter if people around him talking, not. This is him before every game at midfield praying. You know, we talk about things like causing a stir, like Tebowing instead, you know, after a touchdown, going down to one knee. He's in fervent prayer at the middle of the field before every game. Not to draw attention to himself, but to give glory to God. If you wanted somebody to cheer for, you know, if you watch Team USA, another goalie, Brad Guzan. He shared his testimony on Beyond the Ultimate website. It features Christian sports stars. He said, "I think we all need Christ in our life. The money, fame, all those objects, they don't mean anything if you don't have Jesus in your life. All those things can be gone in the blink of an eye. But we can't get caught up in it." The player I was most disappointed with Brazil's team that wasn't on their team this year, he was on their last World Championship team in 2002 when he was 20. He's now 32. He's still young enough to be playing on the team, but he's had some injuries. His name is Kaká. You know, they have like Pelé and Xavi, and you know, did they just get their one name things? Well, this is Kaká. I know. I just imagine giving the pass to Kaká. But anyway, and of course, we were singing earlier. You probably didn't know that's him. And he would a lot of times have this T-shirt on under his clothes that he would, you know, take off his jersey when. At the end of the game to give glory to Christ. And I'm going to show you, I just saw on Friday, they made big news. I know when David Beckham came over, if you remember, to the United States to play for the Los Angeles team, that was big news star coming over. Well, they're doing that now for the Orlando team, and he is the big news star coming over to play in the MLS for Orlando. He said this, "I need Jesus every day of my life. Jesus tells me in the Bible that without him, I can't do anything. I have the gift and capacity today to play soccer because God gave it to me. The day he wants me to do something else, I'll do that something else. And this is why I need Jesus in my life every day. He says, I'm successful in my financial life, my professional life, but all of this has come from God and is a gift of grace from him for my life. All that I have, I thank him for." I'm going to play just a little bit of an interview from him. he doesn't always give interviews in English, but here he did. We're going to go about a minute and a half, and I'll tell you when we're going to move on.
Iako je proglašen najboljim nogometašem svijeta, brazilski reprezentativac i igrač nogometnog kluba Milan, Falcao definitivno je atipičan nogometaš. Poznat je po svojoj dubokoj vjeri u Boga, Biblija mu daje smjernice za sve, a u životu je imao samo jednu djevojku kojom se i oženio. Bez obzira na njegov brzi uspon, novac, slavu i činjenicu da ga se s punim pravom može nazvati pravom zvijezdom, Falcao je ostao skroman, jednostavan i normalan dečko. Za početak nam je objasnio kako mu se rodila tolika ljubav prema Bogu.
Yeah, but there's my worth it, because when I was young, my parents every time spoke about the Bible and the works in the Bible. So I've been learning this type of things, and now I can say my worth is the Bible, my religion, the faith.
Prije nekoliko godina Falcao je imao nesreću nakon koje se nije znalo hoće li uopće moći hodati, no nekim čudom je ozdravio i to zahvaljuje upravo Bogu. Zato mu jednog dana planira možda u potpunosti služiti.
I would like to go deeper in on the Bible. I like so much the Bible, and so I would like to learn more about it or improve more about it, but I don't know if I'll be a priest, but if I can do that, I would like to say the people what God is doing for me and can do for them too.
And sorry the video wasn't working, but hopefully you could hear him and understand him. He goes on there from talking about fidelity in every part of his life, and he and his wife coming together, and how they, everything they tried to do was honoring to God. He says, the difference Jesus makes in my life is that I know I will always have victory, I will always have joy, I will always have success. This is independent of the situations I face or will face. This brings me great peace. I usually tell the people who ask that the Bible is like the user's manual that comes when you buy a product. It has everything we need in it. It makes me happy to read the Bible every day, to study it and be in fellowship with God and learn more and more about Jesus. I will win many matches and I will lose many matches. But I know that in all of them, God has a plan. This is why I try to understand the plan of God for me in each moment, so that I can have peace during times of pressure. Everyone wants to be a winner, but for me, the true meaning of winning is having Jesus in my life. It is a life of prayer, a life of intimacy, and a lifelong friendship, knowing that God is our Father. I can say that I am a winner and I am victorious because Jesus lives in my life. No, I will never stop following Him. And to build off that, I want to talk about just real quickly four ways that the World Cup can remind us of the Christian life. Four verses. If you have your Bibles, you can pull them out. I need some help on four verses. And I'm going to need some kids to help me out with some stuff up front. Jan, could you look up Philippians 3:14? Drew? Could you look up 1 Peter 1:9? Bob, could you look up 1 Corinthians 12:12? And one more. Dakota, can you look up 1 Timothy 4:8? Okay, four ways, and if you got your, if you grabbed your bulletin sheet, the things you can fill in there. Four ways that World Cup reminds us of a Christian life. One is there's a prize to win. And what's the dream of every soccer player is to hold, that's the World Cup, is to have that World Cup in their hands. That's the goal to win. And that's the same for us too in our life. First, I'm going to have four representations up here of... I got the name right. She just doesn't want to come up. Can you help me out? All right, come on up. I didn't have a World Cup because we didn't win a lot of soccer trophies as kids. But if I want to see basketball trophies, you're going to hold this up every time we talk about as a prize to win. Can you stand right over there, kind of in front of that speaker? All right. So you'll be our representation if there's a prize to win. And that's the same for us too in the Christian life. Philippians 3:14. Jan?
I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Okay. And so it talks about the goal and the prize, which is Christ Jesus himself. And then also in 1 Peter talks about this in 1 Peter 1:19.
1:9,
sorry.
For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Okay, so for us, World Cup means a trophy. For us, it's talking about salvation from God. It means being with Jesus for all eternity, because we have faith in the one who died for our sins and rose again. Who's that? Jesus, right? But there is a big difference between soccer or football and the Christian faith, because to win the World Cup, you have to be good enough, right? In the Christian faith, you have to realize that you can never be good enough. There's nothing you can do to be good enough. So you have to admit that we're a sinner, and that only Jesus helps you in saving you from sin and consequences. So see if you can finish the card. Admit you're a sinner, then you're a winner. There we go. That's how we win in Christian life. So trust in Christ, and you win the prize. All right, he's got it there. Number two, so you stay up here. Number two, there's a prize to win. There's also a team to play on. Let's see. Caitlin, could you help us out? Got a jersey from Honduras from when we were there, so we're pretending that's our teams right now. All right, you can hold it up or slip it on. It's up to you. So the Christian life is also like soccer because there's a team to play on. There's a prize to win, there's a team to play on. Because no match can be won by one person alone. You know, Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo or who's a really good American? Dempsey? Or Xavi or who's the England guy? Rooney? None of those can win on their own. And you're finding that out even, you know, during this tournament. Even the best players, their teams don't always win. But it's about teamwork. Even the best of the best need other players. And the Bible says that when we put our faith in Jesus, we become part of a team. And it uses a different way of saying that. It says we're part of the body of Christ. Like, we all play different parts, but we need each other. We're all connected. 1 Corinthians 12:12.
The body is a unit, so it is made up of many parts, and through all its parts are many.
Okay, so we all have a team to be a part of, and we, you know, in soccer terms, you don't keep the ball to yourself. You be a team player. So never forget that when we become a Christian, we join a team. And players, we saw in pictures, they're on local teams, right? They play, but when they come together, like whether it's for Brazil or whoever, they're on the national team. They're on a big team together. So, you know, Pub Heritage United Brethren, we're a local team here, but we're also on the big team. With lots of other churches and lots of other Christians all around the world. All right, number three, there's prize to win, there's a team to play on, there's training to be done, okay? Any winning soccer team has to play hard. Now, you might see people play on soccer, and you might only see them once every 4 years. You might only see them on the highlights on SportsCenter. Maybe that's all you watch, and that's what you see them play. But what you don't see is the hours and hours and days and years that they're practicing their skills over and over. Let's see. Who would like to come up and help out? I don't think he really does, actually. What? Is that Joey back there? Joey, you want to come up and help us, buddy? So the person holding up the team jersey said, "Pastor Cal, never rely on yourself." At first I thought he was hitting me. No, never rely on yourself. Whatever team you're playing, you have to rely on your team. You can't just do it by yourself. But not only is she holding up the jersey, but she's like giving further illustration. Awesome. Now you don't need anything to hold except for you're doing training. So Like, what are some things that people might train on, like in soccer? Yeah. Train to do what?
Strength.
Strength? Speed? Help them out. What?
And soccer, passing?
Yeah, passing. So, like, coordination with the ball and things like that. All right, so we'll just do training with the strength. So, can you bust out, like Mr. Olympia, like horses and stuff? I know you can. Just come on. Like that. Bring it down there. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. You can run a little. You can run a little if you want. All right. So there is a prize to be won. Let's lift up that trophy. Mike's prize to be won. There is a team to play on. And there's training to be done. Yeah. All right. Good job. In fact, wait, let's get, we build up speed and muscle and training in for soccer. They have to train hard to win. But in Christ, it's a little bit different. That our training starts after we've won salvation, which is a free gift from God. This is like the Apostle Paul told Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:8.
For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promises for both the present life and the life to come.
Okay, so this training of living with God, and also we learn to say no to what's wrong, like we build up our godly muscles, and when we choose to do what's right in God's eyes, we build up our godly muscles. So we pray, we get together at church and in groups, we study the Bible, we worship and pray, and every time we obey God, our muscles get built up. So that's our training. And then finally, number four. Wait, there's a prize to win. Michael? There we go, yeah. How much longer? All right, there is a team to play on. There's training to be done. Yeah, and then there's a captain to follow, okay? Off the field, you have a coach that's in charge. But on the field, there's a captain. You can recognize the captains because they're the ones that have, like, armbands on while they're playing, look like the military police or something. So you're gonna need a captain. And my armbands look a lot like a Boy Scout scarf. Yeah, maybe because it's a Boy Scout scarf. That's all right. Anderson, you wanna come up and help us out, buddy? Yeah. All right. Come on up. All right, we're gonna have you stand up front here, so people see you better. All right, can I put this on your arm? All right, hold out your arm. There you go, perfect. Let's make sure the captain, okay? Make sure the head of the team. Can you be in charge of the team? These are your teammates. All right, stand right out there front. You be the captain. That's good, he's good there. Whoever he wants to stand. All right, so there's a captain to follow. And on the field, you've got to listen, right? You got to listen to your captain, what he's telling you to do, the commands, as he's telling the players to shift around. Sometimes we forget we have a captain, and we just kind of do whatever we want. And what would that be like out on the field if all the players are just doing whatever they want? Sometimes the game is hard, and we feel like we're losing. And that's when the captain encourages us, urges us on. So the captain to follow. So the World Cup reminds us in different ways, like the Christian life. Okay, there is a, what?
Prize
to win. There is a
team
to play on. There is
training
to be done. And there is a
captain
to follow. he's a leader. So we don't know yet who's going to win the World Cup. You might have a guess, but we do know who wins in life. And it's Jesus Christ, and he has won the victory for us through his death on the cross. And the only question then is, have you joined the winning team? We'll talk about that for a second. But first, let's give these four guys a big hand. Good job. Thank you. Yesterday, we talked about, are you on the winning team? Yesterday, we went to a open house. One of I know, I like to keep those separate. Those are your relatives. Anyway. All right, anyway. Remember you flip over that line and you realize, okay. But one of the things that we knew on the way there was this particular relative. How many of you are familiar with the author, Patricia Polanco? Okay, some? Huh?
Polanco.
How many of you are familiar with Patricia Polanco? A lot of people get her confused with Polanco. Polanco. She's from the Brazilian team. Anyway, she writes, you know, kids' books and tear jerkers. I'm not going to get myself in more trouble. But one in particular, what's the name of the book?
There's Something About Hensley's.
There's Something About Hensley's was actually written about Amy's cousin and her daughters. So we thought, oh, there's a good chance that she's going to be there. So we brought that book with us, you know, just in case it's signed. And I think she's got a picture on the jacket of her or whatever. But I wouldn't have to pay attention to that. But we get there, and right away, I'm hearing, that's Patricia. And first I'm like, because we had a rundown on the way there. She had to give you the whole, tell me who all your relatives are, and admit so I don't mess up too badly. And there's a Patty and some other things in there. I'm like, I don't know which one she is. Who's Patricia? Whose kid is she? Anyway, it's Patricia. And later it's like, that's Patricia Polacco. Okay. I didn't see who it was. Later we're in line for food. We're getting in line for food. Patricia. Okay. So she, you know, came over and she had to get plates or something, and she comes over and, oh yeah, right in here, yeah, go, Patricia, you know, we're just trying to just breathe the same air, and then later on we sit down, and she's just at the next table, that's her, oh, that's her, you fake beans there. Turns out, and we're just kind of following this woman around with our eyes, and not Patricia Polacco. She was there, but it wasn't that woman. Later on, she saw the real Patricia Polacco. No, that's her. And later on, so the other got her book signed and things like that. It was a huge difference between knowing about someone, which Amy knows a lot about her, and knowing someone. So then she met her, and she got to talk to her for a while, tell her about the effect that her book's having on her and the kids, and you know how it makes them tear up every time and things like that, and really had a chance to talk and to get to know her. You know, when we talk about being on the winning team, it's the difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone and having a relationship with them. And once you know the one, once you know Christ, you're not going to get confused by anything else. You're not going to be blown about by any false winds or teachings that might come along. You'll know Christ and who he is. And know him personally. There's such a big difference. If you never, like when you know Christ, know about Christ, but don't know him, my invitation to you this morning is I'm just going to pray. And if it's the desire of your heart to know Christ personally, you can just go along in your head with me, just, you know, kind of go, me too, God, if that's the desire of your heart. And but so let's all bow and pray right now. And I'm going to pray about knowing God personally. Heavenly Father, God, we want to know you personally. And we're willing, with your help, to turn from our sins. Thank you so much for sending your son Jesus, who died in our place on the cross and then rose again to be our Savior. God, I ask that you would come into my heart and lead me, that I would have the knowledge of being on your team, the winning team, even though things won't always be easy, even though all my questions won't be answered, all be answered. To know that I am on your team, that I am your son, that I am your daughter, that I've trusted you for my salvation and not anything I could do on my own. God, that is the desire of my heart. Pray all this in your name, Jesus. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up front, but if that's something, you know, that you prayed for the first time to have that relationship, please come talk to me about it afterwards, and I'd love to talk to you about, you know, how to further, like we talked about, there's a prize to be won. If you prayed that prayer, that prize is yours. There's a team to play on. It's the body of Christ. But there's also training to be done, and I'd love to talk to you about that. And we're going to finish off by reprising, whatever better way of saying it is, the song that we're singing earlier, that we ask God to come into our life and then take it over. And then to take it over, so it's no longer our lives, but His, them through us. So let's stand in our time of worship.